This Thursday saw the opening of the 12th annual Mezipatra Queer Film Festival in the Czech Republic. In this week's Arts, Jan Wellinger talks to one of the organizers and spokesman, Aleš Rumpel, who discussed not only this year's main theme, but also its focus on the work of Todd Hines. Also discussed are gay and lesbian issues in the Czech Republic, gay studies, as well as gay readings of the popular sci-fi series Star Trek. Jan began by asking about this year's theme.
Every edition of the festival doesn't only show random queer films, but we always have sort of an overarching theme that tries to say something about what it's like to be queer, but also might be interesting to the straight audience that makes up to 50% of our turnout. And time travel, because we think that the way people lived in the past when they loved people of the same sex is quite an unknown phenomenon. People haven't written too many books about it yet, and it's, I think, still quite a new topic. And I think it's exciting to see films from the Middle Ages about queers. So that's why we chose this topic. But also, on the other hand, we're looking into the future to see what being queer might mean. And we're specifically looking into sci-fi, and to be precise, we are looking at Star Trek and how queerness is represented on this cult series.
That's something I certainly want to get into. But before we discuss Star Trek, for example, specifically, and some of those other films, let's talk about the trailer for the festival, because that sort of alludes to what you're talking about the future. It's set in a spaceship, a Barbarella-type spaceship.
That's right.
Which is manned by a gay couple, a homosexual couple, but they have a little baby. And one of the men, the mother, breastfeeds the baby using a kind of strap-on milk bottles instead of breasts. Was the aim of the trailer or the teaser to provoke somewhat? Because it's also presented as an advertisement, which seems to be a little bit satirical.
It is. It is a sort of a, we call it teleshopping in the Czech context. And there is a presenter who's talking about the advantages of the device, which the brand of it is Dobrý táta in Czech. It means a good daddy. And there is a real functioning phone number that the audience can call in order to purchase good daddy. And it is satirical. It is a commentary on the present state of things in which a gay and lesbian couples are raising kids without any institutional support, or maybe even against it, because it's really complicated law-wise to bring up children in same-sex families. And Tamara Moises, who's a political artist, had a strong point to make, because she's really concerned, as a mother, she is really concerned about the fact that there's so many children without homes and so many children in queer families who just lack support of the state.
Mm-hmm. Does it also, to a degree, say, provoke people who might be more part of a mainstream or a conservative view, who, for example, don't want to hear about same-sex marriage, don't want to hear about gay adoption?
To provoke in the meaning of to stimulate discussion and to stimulate dialogue, yes.
But it's been a strange year in the Czech Republic because on the one hand, Czech society is known as being fairly tolerant of gays and lesbians. On the other, this year, a lot of very conservative elements, high-profile figures came to the fore, including the country's president, including some of his aides at Prague Castle, and others connected, such as a former official at the education ministry, highly controversial figure on the political right. And they have made queer issues an issue this year and sort of created a bit of a backlash. In that context, do you think that this year's Mezipatra is perhaps more important than some of those that preceded it?
Well, I'd say that they tried to create a backlash, and I'm not quite sure whether they succeeded. The Prague Pride, which was the context for the controversial remarks, I think showed that there's too many people that won't listen to this, and the general turnout of the Prague Pride far exceeded the expectations of the organizers, and I think that's exactly because of the homophobic rhetorics of some of the local politicians. So, conservative, I think this is almost derogatory to say conservative. I think conservative is a good value, but I would call homophobic. So the homophobic politicians, I think, tried to create an issue to win popularity and failed to do so. But I don't think that's that it will affect the festival itself.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it is a concern because I know that, for example, we got a lot of response on the social networks from our listeners or readers abroad who were shocked or very concerned that these kind of views could still be expressed in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's definitely a bad news for the Czech Republic, I think. But luckily, there were a lot of conservative politicians responding to the homophobic rhetorics, like the mayor of Prague, for instance. So I think it's really important to have plurality of voices. And in the past, there haven't been enough vocal politicians addressing queer issues positively. There were maybe a few, but I think it's really important always to stand up and express the opposite view when there is homophobia or racism expressed in the political arena.
Okay, well, let's turn to the festival itself. Some of the filmmakers and films being highlighted this year, one of your guests is going to be Todd Haynes. He's the director of films like Velvet Goldmine, Far From Heaven, and of course that most recent Bob Dylan film, I'm Not There. How significant is his work in terms of, say, identity or queer issues?
Very much so. Todd Haynes and one of the other festival guests, Tom Kalin, who's presiding over the international jury of the festival, are representatives of a wave of films that was later called New Queer Cinema. Those are independent American films from the 90s who were really among the first films to present a very different image of what queerness is to the Hollywood mainstream, both in terms of the thematics, but also in terms of the aesthetics. So Todd Haynes' work has been incredibly influential on the entire American independent scene, but also on queer films that are not independent, that are sort of modeled on the regular a girl meets boy, boy meets girl formula that's prevailing in most films. And in terms of identity, I think it's really important that these filmmakers have backgrounds in semiotics and cultural studies and political studies. So their films are very political in the way they address issues and in the way they're structured.
Mm-hmm. And I've read that Todd Haynes was, in fact, the director who discovered Julianne Moore. I'm not sure if that's true.
That's true. One of the films in his retrospective at Mazzipatra is Save from 1994, I believe. And it's the first film in which Julianne Moore has a leading role. And it's an incredible film that's not gay or lesbian explicitly. It's about a housewife in a very well-set West Coast suburban setting who develops an allergy to everything, mostly. So it is a metaphor of consumerism and also of AIDS. And this is the kind of complex narratives that Todd Haynes likes to create. It's not only about men or women in love. It's very political, very subtle.
One of the things that you mentioned was that a large part of the audience are heterosexuals. Was this always the case with Mazzipatra, or is this something that has changed over the years?
We started doing questionnaires and research into our audiences only about the fifth edition of the festival, I think. But it hasn't changed since then, and we're very grateful for that. We've always tried to do a large festival for a large and varied audience. And a lot of colleagues from abroad have complimented on this, because most queer festivals abroad are really for the queer community, which is perfectly fine. But I think it's really necessary to have straight people coming in and sharing the space and the discussions in the festival. And I think that's what's also interesting is that we always have sort of an academic leg to the festival, so that both in Brno and in Prague, there is always a class of students who is taking a queer studies course and who are coming to the festival. And in Prague, it's particularly interesting that there is a group of students of George Washington University who are coming all the way from Washington to meet their counterparts from the Charles University who are taking the course together. And during the festival, they have a discussion. And I think this connecting of different kinds of audiences, people and views is what makes Mezipatra so open to the straight audiences.
If we talk about Mezipatra, it's more than just a film festival, of course. There are many different accompanying events, and there's the academic aspect to it, which you've already touched upon, and there's the Star Trek aspect, which you touched upon. Now, I understand the title of the lecture is Queer Tendencies in Star Trek. Are these queer tendencies that are already latent in the original series or the follow-ups, or is it something else?
It's about the latent homosexual tendencies in Star Trek. It's really interesting to realize that Star Trek has always been very inclusive in terms of actors from different racial backgrounds, but it has been very reluctant to have openly queer content up until maybe mid-90s. So the lecture will be looking both into the explicit queerness of the show, but also into the latent energy. And when we're talking about Kirk and Spock, which is a very famous and very popular subject to slashing, which is a fan production, we'll be having a session on Slash as well within the cycle we call Queer Cafe. We have four talks. One of them talks about Star Trek. The other one is dedicated to Slash. The speaker will not only be talking about Slash academically, but there'll always be people, Czech authors, reading their Slash stories about, I'm not sure whether it's about Watson or Sherlock Holmes or the Star Trek characters. There's so many popular narratives retold as gay narratives in the Slash tradition. So I'll be very curious about that. And also we have one talk about classic Czech films from the 50s and 70s and how they can be read in a queer way.
This is the 12th year that Mezipatra has been put together. It's not only in Prague, it started in Brno, it's based in both cities. Do you think that things have changed significantly since the first Mezipatra was introduced?
For the festival, definitely. It grew tremendously. The first edition only had about 8 films, I think, and 800 audiences. This edition has 83 films. We have international guests. There's a film in international premiere at the festival. It's called Mary Mary from a New York-based filmmaker, Alexandra Dock, so, which is exciting. And the festival was seen by about 85,000 people over the past 11 years. So it grew from a small event in Brno to a major festival, and I'm very grateful for all the people that made it possible. So things have changed tremendously, and even the fact that people like Todd Haynes or Tom Kalin are coming to Prague, I think, really shows that it's now a respected festival.
That was head of the Mezipatra Queer Film Festival, Aleš Rumpel, talking to Jan Wellinger for that edition of The Arts.